Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Los Angeles, California, to bring in our good friend Chris Rose from the MLB Network, NFL Network, BattleBots, and all things in between. He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hello, guys. How are you?
We are good. Chris. We are good. Chris, I want to start with a California question for you, where it looks like, and I just want your take on this and what you think, because I know you've done so much with college football in the past, too. What were your thoughts when you heard that California schools, the state schools, are going to be online in the fall, and what do you think that means for the Pac-12 and football?
Well, let's remember it's schools. It's not the UC schools. So this doesn't mean that UCLA and Cal are following in that yet.
Okay.
So it's different. It's like Cal State Northridge, Cal State Fullerton, those sort
of big
schools.
Skies. So the big skies of the world over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little different in terms of the Pac-12 at this point, but yeah, you can figure it out. If there's no students on campus, I think it's hard to eventually have college football, right? I mean, you know, those schools could probably go a season without it. I don't know what that means in terms of transferring and things of that nature. I mean, my head hasn't even really gone there. And I find it interesting that in May they're canceling fall already. I mean, I understand taking precautions and laying out to all the professors saying that, hey, you have to be prepared to teach two ways, meaning with students here and remotely. But to pull the plug in mid-May was certainly eyebrow-raising, if nothing else.
I just want to reiterate, just because maybe we're a little confused on this end, all the schools that are basically Cal this, Cal that, is that the schools that will be affected by this?
Yeah, it's the California State schools. So once again, like when you hear Cal State Northridge, which isn't far from where I live, so that's in Los Angeles, Cal State Fullerton, which is in Orange County, as opposed to when you hear University of California, Los Angeles, which is UCLA, Cal Berkeley, that's not a state school. So those are two totally different tracks that you're running on. So that's why at this point it doesn't affect the Pac-12.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks for it. It was a little confusing on this end because I never really thought
about
that.
Yeah, listen, Andy, it's all confusing for everybody. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Are we getting confusing messages from Major League Baseball? I don't know that we are, but, boy, people sure have jumped to the players saying it's a salary cap, we're not interested in the owner's proposal before we ever actually even know what's going on here, Chris. What do you think?
Well, I think that what you ought to do is really to understand everything, read two pieces. One is Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. He kind of laid out what they met about yesterday for a few hours. And the proposal from the owners to the players did not start with the economic side of things. It started with the health, which is really of most importance, because that's something that really won't be determined by humans, but you have to have a plan in place, right?
Right.
So they did that aspect. I know we as fans only look at the economics, because you sit there and you say, and I understand it, when unemployment is, you know, claimed over 30 million jobs at this point, people sit there and say, well, hold on, why can't billionaires and millionaires get on the same page? It's not going to happen in 24 hours. And actually, I kind of rerouted myself. The other column you have to read is from Jeff Passan of ESPN. It came out yesterday. And it really kind of details where we are, where we're going over the next week, and really kind of puts a timestamp, if you will, on when a decision and an agreement has to be met in order for this to become a reality, a half season.
This baseball update is brought to you by WOW Internet TV and Phone. I want to thank Chris for helping us out with that. You know, Terry Francona last night, I was watching ESPN, just said, I mean, the PR disaster, if this thing's over money when it's all said and done, is just not good. I mean, I just want them to go into a room. I don't want the media to be involved. I don't want this to play out in the media. I want them to go into a room, figure it out, and come back and say, okay, this is how we're going to play baseball. Because I think both sides have a lot to lose if they're sitting here, as you just said, millionaires and billionaires arguing over baseball when there's money to be made and people who are going to be able to work because they're playing a game.
Yeah, well, I know. I hate the phrase because they're playing a game, though. It's a business, first and foremost. And I understand everybody's pain, okay? I get it. And to some degree, I get it because I don't understand. I'm thankful. Like, God forbid something happens to my job, I know where my next meal's coming from. There are a lot of people in this country who unfortunately don't have that answer, right?
Right.
And so there's a sensitivity to that. At the same time, you can't ever use the phrase, hey, I would play for free. Well, of course you'd play for free, because I would never pay money to see you play, right? Nobody would come to see you. But it's true. It's true. I could come out and say that, hey, you know what? I don't get what the players are doing. I would play for free. Of course Chris Rose would. Nobody would watch. Nobody would open the back door if I was playing in your backyard. Believe me, y'all have seen me throw. You're not going to pay. So it's just, we have to have an understanding that over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear stuff in the media that you don't like, that you're going to feel is extremely insensitive, particularly during a pandemic. But this always happens when there's nothing going on, when the world is running, quote, at normal speed, right? Whenever there are negotiations, fans pick sides, and that is your right. But it's part of the business process of this that we have to let play out. And, you know, you say, well, I don't want to hear about it in the media. Well, guess what? Scott Boras is going to get in front of his people that he talks to. And writers are going to talk to their sources to get quotes because they have jobs to do. So you're going to hear about it. You know, if you put your phone down for the next 3 weeks is what I would tell you if you don't want to consume it.
Chris, I don't know that it's not I don't want to hear about it. I want them to not use the media as trying to gain, to be on the side of public opinion. You know, that's the whole
this
thing.
And I understand that. This is unlike any labor negotiation that they've ever had, because there is this pandemic that's going on. There has to be a sensitivity to the rest of the world. There has to be. I mean, somebody has to be the adult in the room and say, hey, guys, listen, we understand that this might be a one-time negotiation. Let's really try and figure this out. Do the best we can. Now, if they get to the health side of things and they can't see eye to eye and the players don't feel safe for whatever reason and all that, that's a different argument. It
Sure.
really is. You know, we all want to feel safe wherever we go back to work. We all do. And for, you know, look at one of our players. You don't think Carlos Carrasco has certain questions?
Yeah.
The guy is recovered from leukemia. Doesn't he want to feel safe?
Sure.
Absolutely. So there are those questions that need to be answered. Hopefully the economic ones, those are the ones that we always focus on. But hopefully those are the easiest one to answer. because the health ones are such a moving target.
Chris, to take something that's come up here and make it even bigger picture, you know, the players, the reports were, hey, that we're not interested in that because that's basically a salary cap, even if it's just for 1 year. Ultimately, would a salary cap that works really well in other sports ultimately help baseball overall? I see it work so well in the NFL and in the NBA, and I just wonder, would it help baseball maybe to become more popular by spreading the wealth and making other franchises like ours, Oakland Athletics, some other Pittsburgh Pirates, be on more of a level playing field financially?
You mean the Oakland A's, who've won 97 games each of the last 2 years, and made the playoffs?
And our Cleveland Indians. I get it. But and I've always been proud of our team for that, Chris, but I wonder.
Okay, so if you go back in all of the sports, and, I mean, it makes it better for you as a fan, but it doesn't make it better for the players, right? I mean, why would they want to agree to it?
Does it make it better, and I just throw this out, does it make it better for the players if your sport is healthier and then there's more income coming in?
But what's unhealthy about the sport? It made $11 billion last year, which was an all-time high. Is it at the level of the NFL? No, it's not. But what is? Nothing. So, I just don't think that you can look at it that way necessarily. And also, over the last decade, how many different teams were in the World Series, right? There were 20 spots, 10 for each league, right? If you just go through it, like the Yankees, who spend like mad, we're not one of those teams, right?
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So for the Super Bowl, I can't. I'm not going to do the math off the top of my head, but I know that the Patriots played in a bunch, right? Broncos were in a couple. The Seahawks were in a couple. So I imagine if you did the numbers in terms of actually getting to the Holy Grail, which means the World Series and the Super Bowl, I mean, we could sit there and figure it out if we had time, but we don't want to bore people on radio with that. The numbers would probably be about the same.
All right, then let me throw this one at you to follow that up.
Yeah.
If that's all the case, and it's all facts, then why do folks get mad when a guy like Francisco Lindor might leave town?
Why do they get mad?
Yeah.
Because they know that, right, like, would it work better for our team if there was a cap and revenue sharing? Absolutely. Would it help the Cleveland Indians? 100%. But that's not really what the question was. I mean, that's not how businesses are done. They don't do it necessarily to appease the greater good. They do it what's good for their particular business. I mean, I don't think that I'm not smart enough to know the economic side of this. Like, if you made it a salary cap and a revenue sharing stream, then does baseball's revenue jump from $11 billion to $14 billion. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, right? I mean, is it better for small market teams if they can hang on to their guys? Absolutely.
Yeah,
is it nice that the Larry Bird clause is in there for NBA teams? Sure. You know, but in the NFL, there's other headaches. You know, you got to pick and choose. None of us wanted to see Christian Kirksey walk out the door after we cut him, but we did. It was a salary cap move, right?
Right.
And it was a salary cap move because we were worried about paying a guy who's been injured mostly over the last 2 years, whatever they were going to pay him this year. So that has its headaches too.
All right, Chris, let me throw this at you. This is a fun one. Ready? So there was a story in NBC Sports Bay Area, Josh Jarrock. I don't know if you had a chance to see this one. The headline was Seahawks Browns Russell Wilson trade would have removed the 49ers' main rival. So, I mean, the story itself is kind of based on Bay Area, but there's a nugget in here that I think is really interesting to Browns fans, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this. Ready? So, yeah, let me read it to you just in case you haven't. The Seahawks reportedly offered Russell Wilson to the Browns in 2018. NBC Sports' Chris Sims noted on PFT Overtime that he heard the Seahawks tried to trade Wilson to the Browns for the number one overall pick, which ended up being Baker Mayfield. If you were the right. Browns, would you have done it?
Well, I mean, retrospectively, of course you would. I mean, even at the time, I would have done it. If that was indeed a, you know, if I'm just doing the timeline off my head, that was probably right before Russell got his extension, right? And so it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about with salary cap. Like, what do you pay these high-end quarterbacks? And I think Russell Wilson's one of the two or three best and most important players in the league, right? I mean, I thought he was utterly fantastic last season. So, yeah, I mean, you'd do that 10 out of 10 times. That's no slight against Baker. That's just me saying that Russell Wilson's a better player than him right now.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of fun to actually see that in writing, though. Just that's out there. Yeah. I think it's also another reminder that teams are constantly talking and that people want to say, well, this trade's almost done or this trade. It's like Mark Shapiro once said to me, there's nothing 100% until it's actually real.
Right. You know? And by the way, that's way better than the Myles Garrett to the Seahawks for KJ Wright, a 2 and a 6, or whatever the hell that rumor was. I mean, come
on. I don't know.
The other one that was
always fun, too, was a basketball one that was, at the time, Kyrie Irving to Golden State for both Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yes. Those are the ones that I used to call into the Pete Franklin show with.
Yes.
By the way, you never lived. This is for everybody that's over the age of 45. You never lived until you were hung up on by Pete Franklin, which I was.
Congratulations.
But were you scared to death while you were on hold? That's the question.
Yes. I was. I was actually at my sister's place, and I called in, and I was on hold, and I remember I was so pissed at Keith Lee. Remember Keith Lee?
Yep.
Out of Memphis that we traded for on draft night. I think it was Oakley. We had drafted Oakley, and we traded him to Chicago for Keith Lee. He never really materialized in anything.
Calvin Duncan in that trade, too.
What's that?
Who was the other person?
Wasn't it Enos Watley and Calvin Duncan in that trade, too?
There you go. Like good one. Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
And so I said, you know, Keith Lee just doesn't look like he's playing hard. And he starts yelling at me. He goes, do you know what's inside of Keith Lee's head? And I said, yes, I do. Next thing I hear is click. Pete, Mr. Franklin? I think I was like 15. He's like,
he was like, that's it. I'm not taking any more calls from those punk kids from Shaker.
Oh, my God.
We're done.
Great.
All right, Chris, thank you. As always, we enjoy our conversation with you, and I can't wait to talk to you next week and see what happens between now and then. It should be fun.
I'll see if I can squeeze you in next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let me check my schedule. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, guys.
All right, awesome.
Okay. Are you sure? Any day that ends in day, I think, is probably good for you too, right?
Stay healthy.
Goodbye, Chris.
Guys, all right.
You too.
See you, buddy.
All right, Chris Rose, super friend of the show, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.